Joining us now is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, founder and president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, author of The Islamic Tsunami, our man on the street, David Rubin. Dave, how are you?
I'm okay. Good to be back with you, Dennis.
Why is it heating up in the Strip now, and is it something to do with our election immediately over, and people get hints, or I don't know. What's your theory on why things are heating up over there right at this moment?
Oh, I think there's definitely a connection. The missiles from the Hamas terrorist organization that have been falling on and off for the past 8 years, suddenly after the American elections, it started to pick up even further. The frequency of the attacks and the magnitude of the attacks, and I really believe that there is a connection, that they were getting the signal that with the Obama administration, it's going to be easier for them, and there won't be as much opposition. I think that we have seen the results of that in this recent ceasefire.
Over here, Dave, in America, we're now taking what obviously turn out to be terrorist attacks on consulates and trying to rationalize them in our first moments as reactions to films made by idiot filmmakers in California. In other words, we're contorting ourselves to try to figure out a narrative that doesn't really just come out and say that there are factions of Islam that live to kill the great Satan, and that's Israel and that's us. Do you see any of that? And when I look at the diaspora in New York and how they really kind of ignore the plight of Israel in many ways, is there a contingent of the Israeli state that is just starting to bend and think we must be responsible for this, or is the steel still in the spine over there?
Well, I could tell you that the steel is in the spine of a big part of the population. There are a lot of people here who were very upset by the ceasefire. I have to tell you, we have soldiers, tens of thousands of soldiers who went down to the Gaza front, to the border between pre-67 Israel and Gaza, and there were 70,000 reservists who were called up, which is a tremendous amount. It's the equivalent of millions of Americans being called to the war front, and they were ready to go in and finally put a stop to that missile fire coming from Gaza. And they really, people, just the man in the street, the woman in the street, they were saying, let's just finish off this Hamas terrorist organization. Let's finish off Islamic Jihad. Enough of this. Enough of this. We got to stop it. Enough with children having to go into bomb shelters in the middle of the night. And so our prime minister disappointed us. What can I say? The people still have the will. But somehow the prime minister, I don't know what Hillary and Obama did, when Hillary locked him in the room and started threatening him, but somehow the prime minister came out of it emasculated.
Yeah, the last guy I would have thought that would have turned into an invasion of the body snatcher pod. I mean, really, I'm kind of shocked.
No, we still believe that come the new elections in January, if he has a strong conservative coalition that will strengthen him and just give him the courage to just say no to Hillary, or I don't know, I mean, God forbid, it might be that woman in the UN,
Susan Rice.
That's right.
Well, she'll be leaving the UN right when Abbas shows up and asks for recognition of a state of Palestine, no doubt. That's coming sooner than later, right?
It's coming very soon. But she's going to be the one sent to Israel when we have the next conflict. And everyone knows that what we had now was just a dress rehearsal for what's going to be within a few months. Nobody really believes that Hamas is going to stop the weapons smuggling. There's nothing in the ceasefire agreement that is going to stop them from smuggling those weapons in. And that means it's going to all break out again pretty soon.
I can't imagine the existential fear. And I've read about the Blitz. I've never lived in it, obviously. But the Blitz seemed to be, well, you just said 8 years. What I can't imagine. Does it just, do you just... Does the fear start to go away that something could be coming, raining down on you at any given second? I guess some sort of survival instinct takes over where you think, I can't think about it every second. Or does it just sit there in your head all day? I'm intrigued by that.
Well, you live your life day to day. And you go to work, you send your kids to school, you do everything that needs to be done. But just to continue your lives, it's just this built-in resilience that the average Israeli has. But I have to tell you, the effects on the children, as you know, and we've discussed this before, from my work with the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, the effect on the children is long-lasting, and the trauma is always lying beneath the surface. The fear that something could happen at any moment. So many children, when they got the phone call, you know, and not the phone call, but when they heard the sirens saying that they have to go to the bomb shelter. You know, my 9-year-old son called me up in panic, saying, "What am I supposed to do? Where do I go?" And you know, he's in the house, just had just come inside with his rollerblades on, and he wanted to play. And I said, "Go to the nearest bomb shelter down the block." And that's what he did. And, you know, so it's kind of a meeting place.
Unbelievable. What a world we live in. I don't know.
You get used to it.
I honest to God hope Netanyahu doesn't roll. I don't know what sort of sway they have over him, but boy, I hope he doesn't roll over that. And then again, David, I what do you think they see on that side of it? To paint a picture for me, even if you find it unbelievable, what do Obama and Hillary, and it seems to be they're influencing Netanyahu, what sort of outcome do they see? What do you think they shoot for that will make this, what will ameliorate the situation of the missiles being lobbed in? Can you see anything they think?
I don't think that they're so concerned about that. I don't think that that's the main issue. For Netanyahu, obviously, it is the main issue. He has elections coming up in 2 months. He wants quiet for at least those 2 months. But as far as the Obama administration goes, I think their main concern was just to have an agreement. They had Turkey and Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood president in Egypt, pressuring them to, come on, we have to stop this. We can't let the Israelis go in and finish off the job. You know, I think it's since Vietnam we've forgotten how to fight wars. That war is not good, of course, but that there are some times where war is necessary. And if you're going to fight the war, just do it right.
Yes.
You know, just don't play around and pussyfoot around. Just go and do the job. And stop those missiles from flying.
Well, I think it was the great military leader Grace Slick of the Jefferson Luftwaffe who said, either go away or go all the way. And I think that's what they have to do now at this moment. We've been talking to David Rubin. I'm sorry, Dave.
I was just gonna say she was a great singer. I don't know if I would make her one of the top military advisors, though.
I was just trying to give her cachet. We've been talking to David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. And Dave, if you see BB, tell him if he needs to sneak through here for 2 more months between now and the election and keep it quiet. Tell him to isolate on some Jewish filmmaker who has made a short film that has inflamed the Palestinians, and that's what's causing all this sort of uptick in the missile lobby.
Yeah, it was actually a Coptic. It was actually a Christian from Egypt. When they finally researched it a little bit, they found
there you go.
It wasn't this
even
Jew named Sam from New York.
Better yet. All right, David, good to talk to you. Former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, founder and president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, and author of The Islamic Tsunami.